Welcome to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast with your host, Chris Ruggiero.
Hello, and thank you for listening to my podcast. Here is part two with Anya. Again, she is an aerialist performer who is also reopening the House of Yes, a performance space in Brooklyn, which plans to open later in 2014 as a full restaurant, bar, and theater, focusing on circus-type entertainment. We chat about some awesome performances that she's had, as well as a few terrible experiences performing, which gets pretty interesting. She talks about having that moment while performing and realizing this is why we do what we do. This happened while she was hanging off the side of a building looking at the New York City skyline. Every entertainer performs for a different reason, and we talked about how amazing it is to be able to give audiences a great experience. So enjoy part two with Anya.
So back to, what was it, things I'll never forget?
Story or travel things or show things or things that have come from being a, I don't even want to say from being a performer, but from being what you do, whatever that is.
Well, the two that popped into my mind when you asked me was the most recent one that I was telling you about at, when we were having lunch with Alan a couple of weeks ago, where my whole body got painted with this paint that wouldn't come off at all. And it was one of those gigs where they're like, oh, we want you to just sit there on this steel moon over a dance floor, but we're going to paint your body this color with glitter. And this paint was like not coming, like it wasn't like, oh, it's just going to go away eventually. Like it was like an industrial finish on like a vintage car kind of paint or something. So during my performance, like anytime my body would touch the steel of the apparatus I was on, the paint would glue to that and then like rip off like gaff tape or like duct tape style feeling like on your ass and your arm and whatever. And then I spent 3 hours from 3:30 in the morning until 6:30 in the morning dousing myself with rubbing alcohol and rubbing at my flesh with a coarse sponge. If you added water, it just would ruin everything. I just didn't. Inhaling those fumes in like the bathroom.
Was it worth it?
No. Absolutely not.
How many times have you done stuff? So like that goes back to, you know, I think both of us could attest to being where we are in our life or career or whatever, because we've said yes to a lot of things has led to great things.
Yeah, and I think that, it, you know what, I take that back. It was worth it because I learned that I was never going to do that again.
Yeah.
So it was a learning experience of, yet again, here's another boundary that I now know exists with right. What I can say yes to.
How many other times have you had things that you've done that you realize? Like not that you regret it, because like you said, you can get something from everything.
I mean, you know, and it can be as simple as like stilt walking at a really obnoxious club with like really often patrons. And it's like, yeah, you're making $300 in an hour and a half, which is like decent, you know, with no rehearsal. You just like show up in a cute costume. But it was not worth it. And so then you're like, okay, that I'm not working at that place ever again.
Yeah.
But then other things where it was like, you know, this production company that's really on their up and up called Bang On NYC, they do really incredible, not really quite underground productions because there's permits and stuff, but like very alternative, mostly like electronic music based, but like art parties. Last September, they were like, hey, so we're throwing an event at this really incredible location right on the waterfront in Red Hook, Brooklyn. There is this 120-foot grain silo that's overlooking the whole location. We would really like it if you scaled that building with some projections going around you. And I was like, this could be a clusterfuck, but like it's also an opportunity. And you know, that was one of those experiences that, like, I'll never forget. I mean, crawling out of a window at 120 feet is really terrifying. And it was one of those moments where, like, you know, I'm, like, all done up and I have all these feathers and this flowing gown on and I'm crawling out this window of this abandoned grain silo. And there's a moment where, like, you're not clipped in. Like, you can clip in once you've made it out the window. And, you know, I'm a professional aerialist. Like, I realize that, like, unless I physically let go of whatever I'm holding onto, like, I'm not going to die. But when you're that high up, you still get really worried about, like, death and just permanence.
Yeah.
And there was a moment where I was just like, you know, everything in the body is like, you're going to fucking die as I'm making over that threshold of like crawling out of this like very like rusty window with like broken glass everywhere. And I made it out of Clifton. I descended down to my starting point and my starting position was just kind of like with my feet on the wall and like arched back. And I looked to my right and there's like the Statue of Liberty. And I looked to my left and there's the Manhattan skylight. And I was like, I'm attached and I'm okay. And like, this is fucking beautiful. And a couple thousand people are like watching me to do what's next. And my boyfriend is projecting this like animation that's 80 feet wide all around me. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, I'm really fucking lucky. And like, this is why we do it. And this is why we work this hard, is to end up in predicaments like that.
Do you have other moments when you realize that, like, oh, like a moment like that, like I could feel, when you said that, like I got sucked into that moment when you, like you said, when you look over, you see Statue of Liberty, you know, New York City skyline, and you're like, this is like what happens in movies.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, you're in it. And I think some people don't stop to
recognize ones you can't not stop. Like, it's so, I don't know who would not recognize that.
How would you tell that feeling to somebody that, so I think a lot of people in the world don't ever get that feeling even once. We get it a lot and we become kind of immune to it.
I don't think it's like if I was to do that show on multiple times because it was a run of many dates, yeah, eventually I would be immune to it.
It becomes every day. It becomes work.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot to be said for, like, because performance is such a giving art form. And one of the things that I like to tell people who are, like, really asking me, like, what performance means to me, or like they're about to perform for the first time and what does it mean to them, is that, you know, you take the amount of people watching you and you multiply it by the minutes your piece is, and that's the length of the human experience that you're personally responsible for. And it really kind of puts it in perspective in a way, or maybe takes it out of perspective completely. So a 3-minute piece for 1,000 people.
Make it 100.
You're performing a 3-minute piece for 100 people.
That's easier to multiply.
So 3 minutes times 100 equals 300 minutes. And how many hours is that?
I don't know.
5 hours.
Yeah.
So that's 5 hours of human, of like life. This was like when I was like 19 or 20 years old, I kind of decided that that's how I was going to think about like the responsibility of, you know, being like, I'm on stage, everyone look at me now, like, you're all looking at me. What does that mean?
Yeah. Because in a way, sometimes it can be like, what is the point? What am I really
doing? Well, sometimes like this bar mitzvah I was at last week, like no one cared. We were doing aerial 30 feet up in the air. Like no one gave a fuck. And that does not, it's not like, oh, there were 700 people there. Multiply that by the 20 minutes I was up there. Like, it doesn't count. Because they weren't looking at you. They didn't care. Like, you weren't.
But shouldn't you go into that if that's what your process is to create?
No, but
that?
It's not. But it's not about my personal experience. It's about my audience's personal experience. And so when you're on a stage, like, everyone's looking at you, right? Like, they're there to see whatever's on that stage. Versus when you're an ambient performer at a party, it's different.
How much of what you're doing is for your audience?
All of it.
But what about how is that different when you're doing a performance where people aren't like super into it?
Then I don't care.
So it's not for them.
Well, it's for whatever they, I mean.
Does it?
Then I don't. I don't feel anything when I do that.
That starts coming back into, then you're just doing it for money then.
I am doing it for money. Absolutely. Like when I go to somebody's bar mitzvah, like yeah, like I make sure I shower, I don't smell bad, and like shave my armpits and wear the costume that matches their like 13-year-old's favorite color and whatever. I don't get nervous, like I don't feel anything in my heart or my gut. I just like do my job. It's just like pure athleticism.
The feeling that you get, like the satisfaction of you being a performer, doesn't ever come from you performing. It comes from the audience.
Well, it comes from me giving something.
And them reacting in some way.
Well,
so for you to know that you gave them something, they need to react. Or else it feels like
they need to experience it. But I think that if they're just there, like on their phone, like they're not experiencing what I'm doing.
So we did a show tonight that had a very small crowd.
Mm-hmm. And the person in the front row of that show was the person I pointed out to you when we were sitting in the, behind the audience.
Yeah, and it loved
it. And it was this older gentleman, and he was from somewhere very suburban, and he just had this big-ass smile on his face, and his jaw was, like, literally open.
For an hour.
For an hour straight.
The whole show.
With this, like, just glowing smile, and I was like, I'm doing a good thing here. And I felt like my performance was, like, I couldn't look away from him. Like, I couldn't because he was just enjoying it so purely, and he wasn't, like, he was just, like, purely 100% enjoying what he was seeing throughout the whole show, whether it be me climbing a towing chain, or you juggling, or the magic, or the dancing girls. Like, he just was gonna just wholeheartedly accept it and enjoy it 100%. And that was fucking awesome.
Do you ever have moments in shows when you are feeling like the crowd isn't into it, and then afterwards you realize that there was a person like that, and then you kind of think back, like, I should have given it. I was kind of half-assing it because I felt like the crowd wasn't into it. And then afterwards, you realize
it's
that...
It's different because, like, the performances that I'm usually a part of, it's like... Like, because you perform for, like, colleges, and colleges are weird because, like, sometimes people are at a show, but they don't really care to be there, right? Because it's, like, sponsored by the college.
Yeah.
And for me, like... The stage shows that I do, people made a choice out of all of New York City, of all the things you could do in New York City. They chose to be there.
Yeah.
And they paid money to be there. So they're kind of like already invested into whatever's going to happen. Versus at a college, it's like the entertainment department like paid for this thing to happen. And like maybe some of them, they paid for it. But like they kind of, A, they don't have another option of something else to see. And B, like... They didn't really have to spend any significant amount of money or time or effort to, like, go see it. So it's different. So I think that's kind of, like, I honestly don't think I've ever done a bad job at a show. Like, I think there's been certain shows where I felt, like, dissatisfied with myself or, like, maybe the tech fucked up or something. And I was like, oh, that could have gone better. I'm sure I don't have a perfect track record, but, like, I just can't think of a time where I was like, oh, I totally sucked, like, that... thing that I did shouldn't have happened at all in the show, you know?
Yeah.
I think that goes back to that principle where I'm just, like, always calculating for how many minutes and hours of human experience I'm responsible for. And that's, like, a big deal to me.
This kind of human experience of going out and meeting people and talking to people and, you know, there's so many times that I think... As a normal person, we can make one, instead of thinking of it in this multiplying thing where we're turning like 4 minutes into hours, where we can turn it, flip that upside down, where we can turn 1 minute of someone's real, like turning into real life time.
Mm-hmm.
So like giving somebody a smile.
Right.
Walking by them when, like, you know, you see people all the time that are just, like, you can tell, like, they're not, there's something that they're just not, it's not working for them. And it could just be, like, a simple, like, they're just, like, bummed out.
Yeah.
And, like, someone saying, hey, like, cool shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, changes there. Like, you're not worrying, like, turning that like 3 minute performance into this big experience. Like, it's just that one moment.
Well, the idea is that it's the moment. Like, yeah, and the idea is that like every second of human experience is an extremely valuable thing.
Yeah, and it could be worth. So I guess it goes back to what you were saying, where that one moment
of
that one compliment could carry on to like 5 hours of that person being like pumped.
You know, in our society, like we're so used to like calculating things in monetary terms. And then it's also like, on top of that, recently it's like, oh, how many likes does that personal like picture get? And just like, did this thing get retweeted and whatever? And it's like, well, let's go back to like human experience. And sometimes like connecting with the guy at the deli that makes your sandwich every breakfast and having like a genuine human exchange with them for 2 minutes is like worth so much more than like 100 likes on Facebook. And it's all about just like being engaged with people. And like that's what I love about performance, is that it's like so real.
Yeah, it's like in reality it is worth that, but then it's like I fall into that trap of like Instagram.
We all do. And it's like, so now it's equated with like, if you're a successful like business person promoting yourself, like you have to be good at social media, otherwise like you fail. But we have to be able to separate that, because like we are like, as performers, like we're working in like tonight live. It's really happening. It's right there. It's making you smile in real time. Like, you just can't put a value on that, and it's so important.
I think there was a moment tonight when I like realized. So like again, there was tonight's show that we were in. There was hardly any people there.
There was enough to make it not awkward.
It's a small theater, so 150 seat theater, but it was, you know, probably a quarter full.
Yeah, but like that guy made up the whole, but that guy with a smile on his face like made up for the whole thing.
So that's where I was going. So I don't know how many people. Say there's 50 people there.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, you could say, oh, that's not like a terribly successful night, you know, which probably is accurate. It's probably not a terribly successful night for whatever. But there was a few times when there was some real moments out there that, so like tomorrow night you're performing at Borgata and there's going to be 1,000 seats full, like guaranteed. Yeah. Every night at Borgata, there was 1,000 seats full. And that's where I was last year. And it was like this thing, you just go out and do your thing and it happens. It's like kind of the same thing happens every night.
And you better not fuck up, because there's a lot of people watching. And it's like, you still, no matter how many times you've done it, you still kind of get a little bit like, oh shit, like I'm about to go on stage. Versus here, it's like,
there's
my time to go on stage.
There's like a lot of people out there. But that's kind of the opposite of what I was going to say, where like tonight felt a little bit more important.
I think so, yeah.
So, like, that's... I don't know if people that
haven't... That's what we were kind of joking about before the show in the dressing room. Where I was like... You were like, oh, no one's out there. I was like, oh, does this mean I have to work?
Yeah. You were like, oh, I have to work, like, way less. I was like, no, you need to work way harder.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's a lot more important.
Because it's more personal.
And that's where... You know, I don't think people that haven't been on stage understand that, where you know, we'll say, oh, and you're gonna go out in front of 1,000 people, that's insane.
Well, you know what, it's kind of like giving a speech versus talking to one person. Like, think about that. Like, if I was to
so what's easier for you?
Well, it's not about easier, but it's like when you're talking to one person, like you're really connecting with them. You can't just have a... Like, if I was to talk to you about something, I couldn't just be like, all right, so here's this thing I want to talk to you about. Let me bust out my flashcards. And here's my talking point. Right. Like, that would be weird. And
like
you wouldn't take it seriously.
Outlier PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, or it'd just be, like, weird. Well, it'd be weird, A, but, like, B, like, it would also... Like, you wouldn't connect with it, right? Because it's just you and me in this room. Like, why are we looking at the screen? Like, why are you reading off these flashcards? Just, like, tell me how it is. right, when we're talking to a large audience, we're like, okay, like, how do we refine the thing that we're trying to present so that everyone can identify with it? So it's a little bit more watered down. So I think that, you know, like, watered down slash refined slash, like, chiseled into, like, efficiency and whatever. So when you're in a large room, you're just, like, broad strokes. When you're in a small room with one person, you're, like, making eye contact. Like, if I was to...
You have to care how the other person is responding as an individual.
Yeah, and when there's somebody, when there's 50 people in that room, it's like, okay, this is a manageable amount of people. Like, this is how many friends I would have at my birthday party, right?
Yeah.
And I better not have my, like, vacant dancer face on. I better, like, kind of seduce people and look at them and not just look at them passively, but look at them and want them to look back. And, yeah, it's a whole other... ball game for sure.
Yeah, there was,
and I love that more. I love.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I would pay the bills to perform for 10 people.
Yeah, there was totally a few, like, before the show started tonight. I, like, went out and looked out there. I was like, oh man, there's nobody out there. So, like, I have a little bit of I feel like, not to, like, be pushing what I do is harder, but, like, my job, I feel like sometimes is harder because I bring one person up on stage every mm-hmm. show. And, like, sometimes I'm get nervous. So, like, that there might not be a good that's a big part of my show is picking the person that's going to come up on stage.
Wow, that's so crazy.
So, people see the show, like, oh, that was so funny. You brought that girl up on stage and she was great. But, like, I'm like, yeah, I was freaking out before the show.
I was looking at you, you're like, no, there's no hotties out there that are gonna.
Yeah, because I can't bring up a 60-year-old lady onto stage, that whatever. Would be creepy, like,
a cougar alert.
Yeah, and it's like, that's like a whole process that I don't think anyone realizes. For me, when I go out there, the one thing that makes me nervous is like the 2 minutes, or not even the 2 minutes that I have the girl. So once she's selected, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that moment of me like picking the person. Because I know that if that decision in that moment is wrong, the next like 2 or 3 minutes could be mad
fucking awkward.
That could be a disaster. And there's nobody, even if the person sucks, it's my fault. Like, it's on me. Like, the spotlight is on me because I'm supposed to be good at this.
Yeah.
Good at being on stage.
Yeah.
And if this person sucks, then I suck.
Yeah.
I forget why we were talking about that.
Talking about having more people versus less people watching your show.
Oh, yeah. So when a night like this comes, like tonight, where there's not a ton of people there, like it's a good crowd, but I feel so much more connected to that. Like, obviously, like, you're just connected where it goes. Like, so there's that balance of being a normal person in real life, of having a conversation with one person, which is that side of it, where you obviously need to be, like, it's very active, to performing for a crowd of, say, 1,000, let's call it 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Where you have to be connecting to that crowd as a bunch of individuals.
Yeah.
But the crowd is acting not as an individual. They're acting as a crowd.
Yeah.
And I find that's kind of another thing when I'm doing my own shows, that's like almost a very crazy thing. I need the crowd to be as tight as possible physically.
Yeah.
Like physically almost touching each other. Like they should be, their shoulders should be as close to touching as possible.
Yeah.
Because if they're in, like, they're in theater chairs, where, like, typical theater chairs are, like, tight, you know, it's, like, almost uncomfortably tight, you get crazy good reactions. Then the other side of that is you put people in, like, dinner tables.
Yeah.
Where they have, like, more personal space, and they're like not tight. There's like this.
And their attention is kind of focused towards the center of the table and not towards the stage and not all forward.
You have
facing.
So you could have 1,000 people in one set in a theater seating, like rows of seating, or 1,000 people at like dinner tables, and the dinner table show is going to be a disaster.
Like, because they're all involved in their little micro worlds.
You're not going to get those connections where, like, it's like this thing when people start clapping. They start to act as a crowd.
Yeah.
And there's something about, so going back to, like, tonight's show, I think it has, like, a big crowd. So a big crowd is awesome when they're tight.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the people, like, halfway and back aren't actively part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
They become spectators.
Yeah.
They become spectators not of the show, but they become spectators of the show
and the immediate crowd
that's close to the stage.
Right.
And so, like, they kind of become, so say we'll go back to this 1,000-seat theater. You're really playing to you're playing yourself on stage, and 500 people that are in the front half of the theater. The people in the back aren't, like, you hit something awesome. They're not going to be like, woo, yeah, clapping. Like, because they know that they kind of can tell that that doesn't affect you on stage. Like, you're not hearing that.
Right.
Then, so the other side of that, like, the people up front don't really realize that there's 500 people behind them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, oh, this show's for me. I'm clapping.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, a night like tonight where there's 50 people. These people are, like, looking around, and there's not a crowd of people. There's 49
It's like us versus them.
Other individuals.
And, like, you better clap, motherfucker, because if you don't, I'm going to smack you in the face with my towing chain.
Yeah,
I saw you
right.
weren't looking, and you were texting.
Yeah, yeah, I saw. Yeah, there's so many of those things.
There's, like, the accountability of, like, you're in it with us. Like,
right,
you
exactly.
Are, yeah, it's like tonight was, like, you are 100% a part of this effort.
You're part of the show. Like, I can see you as an individual. You're not a face in the crowd. Like, you are an individual. Mm-hmm. Like, that guy that we were talking about earlier was in the show. Like, I know him. He's not part of the crowd. He's not, like, a group of this side that keeps clapping that's, like, or drunk that's, like, into the show. But, like, this guy is in the show. And then there was another guy off, like, straight off the front of the island stage tonight who was, like, super into it. He was, like, drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, clapping and laughing along. And I was like, oh, I'm playing to this guy. I'm playing to this guy. And there was another guy over there, like, a younger guy that I was, like, playing to. And it becomes, like, more fun, I think, more interesting and more real that I'm playing to. I'm creating this, like,
condensed
1 minute of personal experience, and in a way that seems like it's not as important. But then when you kick back to it, like, that one moment.
Well, I guess my philosophy is more about, like, and, you know, this is the first time it's ever been challenged in a way that I really kind of have to, like, reevaluate it, where the personal experience in the back of the room isn't as intense as the personal experience of the person that volunteered and got picked to be a part of the show. And I guess I never thought about it that way.
Right, because for them, it doesn't matter how many people are in that crowd. It's like them. Like, they may have never been in front of people, a crowd of people before.
And I guess I've never really thought about, like, evaluating the different types of personal experience that go in there. I guess I've always just kind of figured, like, oh, on the stage, everyone's there looking at you, and at an ambient performance, at a social function, maybe 10% of the people are looking at you.
Yeah.
But I guess when you're doing a stage show versus when you're doing, like, an ambient show where people don't have to look, for me it was about just, like, acknowledging, like, I am now performing for 1,000 people, and those 1,000 people are looking at me. And it's X amount of human experience. So the energy that goes through my body is, like, feels really intense. And I'm able to fill that really big stage and be larger than life and, like, make it really awesome.
So that's a different thing, though. You're creating that to kick back to you to become your stage personality.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get into that mindset of, so I think all of us have our, who we are here mm-hmm. in reality, normal life. And then there's some different version that goes on stage. How do you turn into that?
Well, that's actually a really easy thing to answer. So my first performance on stage was with Akeem Funk Buddha at La Mama Theater in, like, 2004, 2005, 2006, something like that. It was my first aerial performance on a stage. And before that, I'd done aerial performances at underground illegal warehouse parties where, like, everyone was too fucked up to know if it was good or not. And they were just excited. Some girl was hanging off the ceiling half naked, and it was great. And so I was on a stage in a real theater with a director I really was super impressed by, really intimidated by. And in that particular performance, I had to sit on stage covered behind my silk for about 2 minutes before I actually went on. And I remember sitting there, and my apparatus was like, my silk was like stretched around my back. And I was about to start shaking because, like, being on stage when you're new is fucking terrifying. And I was like, but I can't shake because you can't know that I'm here. And I remember just, like, my brain just did this thing where it was like, okay, you're really fucking nervous and you're about to start shaking, so we're just going to take all that energy and make your muscles stronger. And I just remember it going from, like, I don't know if I can do it, to, like, I can totally do it. And the adrenaline just going straight to where it needed to be.
To utilize that kind of...
And ever since then, like, that's what it's been like.
So, I mean, in a way, it's kind of like a hypnosis type thing where you're kind of your subconscious into, you know, translating.
Well, it's just like, I'm really nervous. Like, let's use that energy. Like, whatever's making me shake, like, let's put that to some, like, good use.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, I don't even know how you would describe it, but it's like, I mean, because what I do is so physical, like, I don't think it would work if I was a juggler or, like, a comedian or, but what I do is, like, it just, such, like, straight up, just, like, flexing your muscles and doing pull-ups and crunches for like 5 minutes straight, and it's almost like, oh, like I feel crazy and like it's like I'm scared, can I do this? And then it's like, and outward, and then you're like, let's do this shit, and you just have all this like power behind it. You almost kind of like inhale and like relax into that nervousness.
Do you have a relief, feeling of relief when you are finished with your act?
I don't know if it's a relief. I think that you're still kind of high on adrenaline. I feel a relief when I'm more of a producer-director role, which I've been doing more and more of. And all those elements, like sound, lights, and tech, and cues, and stagehands, and riggers, have somehow miraculously, like, synced up and made it work, and it all worked out okay, and no one fucked up. And then I'm like, I'm relieved. Let me go get a couple of drinks right now, immediately, right now, because I can't believe that just worked out. Like, that's relief. But when I'm performing and I'm nervous and I'm concerned and I'm challenged, it's more of like, by the time you're done making it all work, you're like too tired to feel relief, or you're too released to feel, you just feel at peace. Which is different than relief. Like, to me, relief is, like, a build-up nervousness and anxiety, and then be like, okay, it's okay, fuck, okay, fuck. But when you're nervous and then you release it in a physical way, then you just feel at peace, and it's not like a roller coaster ride. It's more of just, like, being still, like, floating on your back in the middle of a sunny day in the ocean in the Caribbean somewhere. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, everything's fine.
So, like, coming down to a show like today, are you... Coming into that show, are you nervous?
No.
Or anxious about getting on stage?
Not that show, no. I mean, the act that I'm doing in that show, I've been doing for 5 years. in much crazier circumstances.
So what's the best part? So today, so a day like today, you came here to Atlantic City from Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And then do the show. So you do 3 minutes?
Yeah.
On stage. So you spend, what, like two and a half hours on a bus.
Yes.
To come to Atlantic City.
Uh-huh.
And you do 3 minutes on stage.
Yep.
And then you're done. And
mm-hmm.
So what's the...
Well, I still want to go... Like, the thing with doing acts that you know really well is that you really get to put a lot of yourself in it. And you really get to find that guy with his mouth open and smiling with a shit-eating grin the whole time and playing to them. Like, you have the mental space to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm not nervous, no.
What's the highlight of this day? What's the best
That guy's face was the highlight of my day.
So that one moment you looked at, you're hanging from, you know, a chain.
Not just a moment, for like 3.5 minutes I was looking at that guy's face.
And you saw him.
Yeah, and I was just like, somebody's mind is getting blown right now. And that's why I'm totally just like scraping the skin off of my right thigh right now. And like...
Yeah, it was worth... Sitting on a bus, like a terrible bus ride.
Well, the bus ride is not terrible, and I'm getting paid really well to do this.
Yeah.
And that's what made it worth it. But then, like, in my soul is that I felt like I was performing. I mean, I was really focusing on him because I just couldn't look away from the pure joy.
Yeah.
And I'm not being sarcastic at all. Like,
no, yeah, I can. I was performing tonight too, and
yeah,
he was just. Like
child,
burn out,
like a child, yeah. Like seeing a fucking whale at a aquarium for the first time.
Yeah,
and a whale like looking at you.
I was gonna say if Barney, I guess that's like an old thing. Like Barney was like a super.
Yeah, it's like Barney giving you a hug.
As if Barney walked out on stage. Like, yeah. I don't know if kids like Barney anymore, but
I don't think
probably if you're listening to this and you're connected with how old we are and then you're not like 8 and don't know who Barney is. I don't know why that happened, but I feel like there was like a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, imagine if this, like, the craziest or whatever, however old you are, like, the craziest person or character,
yeah,
like, walked out on stage, what your face would look like. Be like, but you wouldn't say anything. You wouldn't express it. It would just be like this, like, the most genuine,
absolutely.
Happiness.
Absolutely. And that was the number one most favorite thing of probably... this whole run that the show has been running is that guy's face. Because I'm sure there's been other guys like him that were sitting in the back rows that we just didn't see. Because that's, I mean, it's like we're performing for a lot of like old people who aren't jaded and aren't critical. And they think that juggling knives or standing on a yoga ball or climbing a towing chain or wearing like James Bond, like skimpy outfits and doing synchronized dance number is like the most amazing thing ever.
Yeah.
Ever, and it's happening right there, and it's in an intimate room, and but like that guy's face, like it just, it was like that's why we do it was what I just like.
Funny because he was first person that you could see in the thing. I didn't know he was there during my whole. I just
really
I did 10 minutes on stage. I never saw him.
Huh.
Until after I came back and somebody was like, oh, that one guy in the front. You know, I hit backstage. I'm like, oh, you see the guy in the front? Loves it. I'm like, no. I never saw him until after.
Wow. See, my act, I'm so just like ethereally spinning in slow motion around my chain. And I have all the time in the world to look at people.
Yeah, I mentioned that because I always have this thing where I come off stage and I'm like, oh, man, the crowd sucked or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. Crap, they weren't into it. And then after the show, I'll, like, go out into the hallway or whatever. People are like, oh, that was like, insane. Like, so good.
Yeah.
And I have to, like, constantly remind myself that these people have, like, are literally seen. Like, to me, it's, like, same old thing.
Yeah, because you're around yourself and you're around other people that do this shit, and it's like, yeah, it is the same old thing, but that's what I'm saying, like, guys like him, like, a lot of people felt like what he was feeling, but they were like too cool to express it in that way.
Yeah, so that's what I always need to remind myself that. Even also the other thing that, like, sometimes even when people aren't like, you know, every trick that I catch, like, a crazy thing, people aren't, like, clapping sometimes.
Right.
And then it gets to, it like, comes back to me. I'm like, oh, why is this crowd, like, not into it? And then I think about myself, like...
A lot of the times it's too early and they're not drunk enough. And they're not used to being like, oh, that's awesome. Let me clap my hands together. No, that's awesome. Let me take a picture of it and like it on my Facebook page.
Right. Yeah, not even that. Like, sometimes it's just they're in, like, in awe.
Right, or they don't know what they're looking at, and they're like, I've never seen this shit before.
I realize that when I'm in an audience, and I'm amazed, like we were talking about Le Rev in Vegas.
You were just, like, at the front of your seat, being like, oh, no, they didn't, they're not going to do that shit.
Yeah, like, I don't think I ever clapped during that show, or made a sound, but, like, that entire show, we were talking about this earlier, like, during that show, there were, like, the crazy things happening, and I was literally, like, leaning in off the edge of my seat, just, like, and my mind was just absolutely insane. And then I always, like, kind of remember that moment of me just being completely amazed, but I wasn't clapping, and I wasn't, like, making any sort of thing. I was just like, it was all internal.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to, like, remember that when I'm on stage and I'm like, I hit something that sometimes gets a clap or sometimes gets a laugh. And then, like, if a small crowd, like, if it doesn't, I need to remember, like, sometimes people are, that was maybe even better.
Yeah.
Than getting a, you know, it's like sometimes maybe like a clap is just like they feel like they need to clap.
Mm-hmm.
Where like if they don't clap, it's because it was even better.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, one, I forget what Cho was talking about, but I was giving some interview and I had that realization where I was performing in front of a really rowdy thing. I think we, like, were at this warehouse party, and we had Rosewood, who is a transgendered performance artist, and we covered her in gold leaf completely, and there was a moment where, like, the curtain dropped in front of her, and it was, like, in front of 2,000 people who were, like, there ready to party all night at a crazy warehouse rave, and... What I always said about that performance is that, like, we were able to make them shut up instead of scream.
Mm.
And that was a moment where we, like, realized that that was more powerful. Just everyone just felt silent.
Yeah, that's, like, a crazy thing to happen.
And you expect them to scream, but they don't. Instead, they're just, like, paying attention.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that moment when they're actually focused and... actually intrigued by it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to say to people that are maybe trying to create their own path in life?
Do things with a really pure heart and a lot of integrity. And I think if you do everything for the right reason, it's just going to work out okay. Like, better than okay, it'll be great. And if you're going to be a performer, like, do it for non-selfish reasons, because performance can be so much, like, attention seeking, like, it's like the first thing you think about, but it's actually, like, it doesn't work out that way. Like, as performers, we have to, like, recognize the audience and really respect our audience, whoever they may be. And for running your business, I mean, most of the time now I spend my time being an entrepreneur and running a business. And doing that with a lot of integrity, like doing everything for the right reasons and creating something that will change the world for the better and not just creating something that's gonna, like, look profitable on a spreadsheet.
What's an action that, a specific action that someone could take towards creating, whether they have a regular, you know, daily job or a creative job?
Okay, well, you wake up in the morning and you're like, who do I love the most? Like, oh, they're the person that's sleeping next to me, maybe. Or maybe they're a person who lives across town, and you're like, oh, can I cook you a really amazing breakfast? And it's, like, really inspired. You don't just, like, make them, like, eggs and bacon, but, like, you make it really special. Like, that could be a really, like, inspired way of, like, living your life, you know? Is to just, like, cook a nice meal for somebody that you really care about. And then maybe you don't have time for breakfast, so you're just on your way to your job. And when you get your coffee and your breakfast from the guy at the deli, you, like, ask them how their day is so far. And maybe you, like, make eye contact with them instead of just being like, oh, thanks, like, here's, keep the change or whatever. And you really treat them as a human being. And then you get on the subway, and then you, like, packed in with all these different people, and somebody is wearing, like, a really, like, beautiful dress, and you, like, compliment them on it. Not because you're trying to, like, get something out of it, but, like, you really think that it's beautiful. And it's just having this very, like, engaged way of, like, not being on autopilot ever. Like, really taking your life really seriously and taking your, like, human interactions really seriously and just connecting with people. And then if you want to make something, like, you should make it because it, like, makes you happy, or maybe you're making it for somebody else. But, like, don't just, like, if you're going to be an artist, don't just be, like, a commercial artist, like, right off the bat. Like, really make what you want to make for, like, a really good purpose, and then if you can sell it so that you can make more, like, do that. But don't just, like, try to capitalize on things right away. Money is just an art supply, right?
I love chatting about the guy in the crowd who absolutely loved the show. It reminds us that we can have a big impact on people's lives, no matter what we do. So remember Anya's advice. Every second of human experience is an extremely valuable thing. And my other favorite, money is just an art supply. So go create something. Even if you think it sucks, it might be just what someone else needed to make their day a little bit better.
Thank you for listening to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.